Hey folks, it is my fervent prayer that the information you are hearing in these audio sermons is being used by Jesus to change your life. No doubt it will be for the better. Our biblical education is important. No, it's actually critical to getting us to the point of reaching full salvation. Welcome to the next installment of DWJD's audio teaching sermon series. We are now up to audio sermon number 60, and it's entitled The Festival of Hanukkah. I'm Pastor Jefferson, and in the last lesson, we discussed the role that God's two witnesses are going to play in the first half of the tribulation. Today, we're going to continue that discussion by tying the timing of their appearance to the Jewish holiday of Hanukkah. We are also going to show how Jesus' ministry was tied to it as well. Perhaps the best way to proceed is to begin by defining exactly what Hanukkah is. Hanukkah is the Jewish celebration known as the Festival of Lights, which commemorates the rededication of the Second Temple in Jerusalem following the Maccabean Revolt. In 168 BC, a king by the name of Antiochus IV Epiphanes of Syria tried to Hellenize the Jewish people. Hellenization is defined as the spread and forcible adoption of ancient Greek culture, language, religion, and ideas over to non-Greek peoples. He did so by outlawing the practice of Judaism, including prohibiting the reading of the Torah, as well as forbidding the ritual observation of the Sabbath. He desecrated their temple by installing an idol, a statue and altar to Zeus, inside the Holy of Holies. He also sacrificed non-kosher animals on temple grounds. These actions are all prophetic forerunners of what the Antichrist will do to the Jewish nation, the Hebrew people, and their rebuilt temple during the tribulation. A small band of Jewish fighters, led by a man named Judah Maccabee, also known as the Hammer, led a successful guerrilla war against the larger Syrian Greek army. In 164 BC, the Maccabees successfully recaptured Jerusalem. They immediately set out to purify their defiled temple. They removed the pagan idols, dismantled the desecrated altar, and in its place built a new one. And on the 17th of Kislev, they began a formal rededication ceremony. The word Hanukkah in Hebrew literally means dedication. As we already know, Hanukkah is not the Jewish version of Christmas. It is tied entirely to the recapture and subsequent rededication of their second temple, which was originally constructed back in 526 BC. In order for the Hebrew temple to be properly restored, a special ceremonial candelabra needed to burn uninterrupted for 8 consecutive days to complete the ritual of dedication. This event took place in 164 BC when the candelabra burned continually for 8 days on just 1 day's worth of oil. The 8th day was completed on the 25th of the Hebrew month of Kislev, which corresponds to our modern date of December 3rd, back in 164 BC. The event of Hanukkah is thus commemorated every year. So we just determined that the festival of Hanukkah was established 164 years prior to the birth of Jesus. There is only a single mention of Hanukkah found in the New Testament. We read it in John chapter 10, verse 22, where it says, "Then the festival of dedication, Hanukkah, took place in Jerusalem, and it was winter." To set the stage, Jesus was in Jerusalem at the time and was preaching regarding him being the fulfillment of Messiah, stating that it was he who was the Good Shepherd. In the chapter, Jesus equates himself to being the Good Shepherd and the sheep as being his true followers. I recommend you take a few minutes now and read John chapter 10 for yourself. When you do, notice that Jesus is saying that he alone is able to willingly lay down his life and do it entirely of his own accord, with no one having the ability to take it from him. He goes on to state that this is true because of the command he received from God, his Heavenly Father. His preaching created a strong ideological division between the Jews listening to him speak. The Bible says that many of them present attacked Jesus by saying, "He has a demon and he's crazy. Why do you listen to him?" While others were defending him by arguing, "These aren't the words of someone demon-possessed. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" Isn't the same thing happening today? Those who hate the cause of Christ will attack anyone promoting the name of Jesus by using false rhetoric and lies, while those who love Christ respond to those baseless accusations by using solid, verifiable facts. Funny how few people's minds are changed on either side in these kinds of debates. This is where John chapter 10 and verse 22 mentions that Jesus was present at the festival of Hanukkah. Thought 3 tells us it was winter. The Greek word we find for winter is chemon, which means, by implication, a storm, tempest, or the rainy season. In the year of 32 AD, the final year of the ministry of Jesus, the festival of Hanukkah began on the 8th of December, with Hanukkah occurring on the 16th. The definition of winter has two separate descriptions. Calendar or meteorological winter begins on December 1st and lasts through the last day of February, reflecting the coldest 3 months of the year. And astronomical winter begins on the 21st of December. Jesus was in Jerusalem on the 16th of December, which is still close enough to be called winter in either case. But Jesus was also telling us that it was the stormy or tempest time of the year, marking the final season of his ministry, had begun. While Jerusalem can occasionally get snow during the winter, it is a rare event, only happening once or twice per decade. Remember, nothing God states in Scripture appears by accident. His timing is always divinely and prophetically driven. Keep that in mind as you digest this sermon. What Jesus is telling us here is that this same riotous debate he just mentions in John will also be occurring prior to the start of the Antichrist's unholy week. God's two witnesses will appear on the Temple Mount on the day of Hanukkah in 2033. This day falls on the 24th of December of that year. They will begin their time of preaching for precisely 1,260 days, the same length of time that Jesus held his ministry. The witnesses will be murdered by the beast coming out of the pit on the 5th of June, 2037. Take a look at the first chart in the Prophecy Interval section, Part E, in the Sermon Summary PDF. Exactly 1,260 days later, on the 17th of November, 2040, Jesus will return for the event called the Second Coming. This will be the day the Battle of Armageddon takes place, the shortest and most violent war in human history. So, from Hanukkah of 2033 until Christ returns is exactly 2,520 days. 1260 plus 1260. Take another look at the PDF I just mentioned. Coincidence? I can tell you that I know without a doubt that it most certainly is not. It works out to be 84 months, exactly as the Bible predicts. John, in the 10th chapter and 23rd verse, goes on to tell us that Jesus was walking in the temple complex in Solomon's colonnade. This is the exact same spot where God's two witnesses will walk and preach. And It will also be where the Antichrist's feet will tread in the newly rebuilt third temple. Look now at verse 24. It reads, "Then the Jews surrounded him," speaking of Jesus, "and asked, 'How long are you going to keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly.'" The Jews in Jerusalem will ask the very same question of the two witnesses when they appear on the Temple Mount. It is my humble opinion that this is the reason God will be sending two witnesses. God promised only one Messiah and not two. And they will also inquire thusly of the man who will be the Antichrist. He too will be asked the same question following the murder of God's witnesses. The majority of the dire threats and plots to kill Jesus all came within the final few months of his ministry. It will be the same with God's two witnesses, but Satan will be powerless to touch them until God ordains it, just as it was with Jesus himself. God alone determines the date of their deaths, and no man will be able to take it from them apart from Almighty God's allowance. Let's now spin back around to John the Baptist and Jesus. As was shown in the last audio sermon, John the Baptist began preaching and baptizing in the Jordan River on 19 June 26. If we add 1,260 days to that date, we arrive on 30 November 29. This was the very day that John was murdered by King Herod Antipas. Antipas, as he was known, was King Herod I's eldest son. Herod I, Antipas's father, is the same king who ordered all the babies killed in and around Bethlehem. John had been rendering judgment upon Antipas and rebuking him publicly on a regular basis for divorcing his wife and marrying his niece, Herodias. Herodias used to be his brother Philip's wife. Philip was still living, and so Philip and Antipas were both uncles to Herodias. Thus, Antipas's marriage to Herodias was in direct violation of God's law against both incest and adultery. Now Antipas knew that John was a righteous man and was intrigued by his preaching. Antipas enjoyed hearing John speak. Despite John's ongoing rebuke of him, Antipas still chose to leave him alone. However, Herodias seethed with anger toward John the Baptist because he dared to speak out against the king. And, to appease his wife, Herod finally had John the Baptist thrown into prison. As a powerful Roman ruler, Herod could have had John the Baptist executed at any time. But he respected John as a righteous man who spoke the truth and elected to not have him put to death. In contrast, Herodias loathed John and wanted him dead. Seizing an opportunity at Herod's birthday party, Herodias set about her plan to have John the Baptist murdered. At the banquet, Herodias' daughter, whom tradition names Salome, performed a very provocative dance designed to arouse her male audience using lust as the age-old bait. Herodias' daughter's performance greatly pleased the king and his guests. Mark chapter 6, verses 22 and 23 tell us the result was the now drunken Herod told the girl, "Ask me for anything you like, and I will give it to you, up to half my kingdom." With these words, King Herod flaunted his generosity and greatness before his guests, but soon he would deeply regret this vow. Herodias' daughter went and asked her mother in verse 24, "What should I ask for?" Queen Herodias' reply was predictable when she said, "Ask for the head of John the Baptist." Not skipping a beat, the girl turned back to Herod and said in verse 25, "I want you to give me right now the head of John the Baptist on a platter." Evidently, her cruelty and submission to evil mirrored her mother's. Unable to take back his hastily uttered oath, The king had no choice but to grant the girl's wish. He dispatched his executioner to the prison where John the Baptist was murdered via beheading. This is another prophecy of those persons who refuse to accept the mark of the Antichrist during the last half of the tribulation. The soldier returned to the banquet with John's head on a platter and presented it to the girl, who, in turn, gave it to her mother. Scriptural history now tells us Herod Antipas's birthday was on November 30th. So this aligns with the chart we just discussed, showing the day when John the Baptist was murdered, exactly 1,260 days following the start of his ministry. To prove that it was actually Antipas's birthday when John was murdered, we must now more closely examine the timing of Antipas's life. History records that Herod Antipas was born in 21 BC and died at some point following his expulsion and exile by the Roman Emperor Caligula in 39 AD. If our date of John being killed on 30 November 29 is accurate, this would mean Antipas was born on 30 November in 21 BC. This timing tells us that Antipas would have been an adult at the time of the birth of Christ and would have been fully aware of the impact of his father ordering the killing of all the firstborn in and around Bethlehem in 2 AD. This also tells us that Antipas would have been 52 years old when Jesus was brought before him prior to his crucifixion. We read in the account of Luke chapter 23 that Antipas was greatly pleased to see Jesus. The Bible tells us that he had wanted to see him for a long time because Antipas had evidently heard a lot about him. This is consistent with him enjoying listening to the preaching of John the Baptist. Luke also tells us in verse 8 that he wanted to see Jesus perform a miracle. Luke further states that Antipas questioned Jesus at great length, but that Jesus refused to answer any of his questions, preferring to remain silent. Interestingly, two of the Gospels mention Antipas's birthday feast, but don't specify a date. Matthew, in his 14th chapter, 6th verse, says, "On Herod's birthday, however, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod so much that he promised with an oath to give to her whatever she asked." Mark chapter 6, verse 21 reads, "On Herod's birthday, her opportunity arose. Herod held a banquet for his nobles and military commanders and the leading men of Galilee." So there can be no doubt that the murder of John took place on Herod's birthday. Using Malachi's prophecy, we know that John's ministry was prophesied to last 1,260 days. The near or close part pertained to John, with the far portion pertaining to Elisha. Modern scholars frequently estimate that John's ministry was short-lived, perhaps 6 months to a year. However, this is completely an error, as there is not one iota of scripture to support this. On the contrary, John's ministry was perfectly aligned with Elisha, both in content and duration. Once again, God does nothing by halves. The point of this particular sermon has been to show that the day of Hanukkah, when Jesus entered the Temple Mount, Solomon's Colonnade, served as the launching point leading to his eventual death and resurrection. In the same manner, God's two witnesses will also appear on the Temple Mount on the day of Hanukkah near the start of the tribulation. This too will serve as their launching point on their ministry. I find it fascinating that the duration of the ministries of Jesus, John the Baptist, God's two witnesses, as well as the man who will be the Antichrist, all share this exact interval of 1,260 days. As you've heard me ask many times, is this all just a coincidence? For those who fail to see God's symmetry within the pages of both history and scripture, I strongly recommend you go back and start over. You are failing to surrender to teaching of Jesus and guidance of the Holy Spirit. These facts from out of God's Word are the proof that He uses to surge our faith and hence advance our relationship with Jesus. We will, of course, pick up this discussion in the next audio sermon. So until next time, my beloved, this has been Pastor Jefferson speaking in God's holy name and for His glory alone. Amen.